You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy.
Welcome to Fancy a Brew. My name is Lucy Duffield.
I'm Aaron McCarter.
And we're two mates, and we met, how long ago was it now?
Well, we set up the radio in 2012, so maybe six-ish years, six years.
That's bonkers, really. It doesn't feel like that long at all.
Isn't it, love?
Isn't it? I moved to London in 2012, so it must have been later that year. And then you've just not got rid of me.
No, no matter how I've tried, you just claw your way back into friendship, don't you?
And now
to the point now where you're even in a different part of the country and we're having to Skype record this podcast because I just can't get rid of you.
It's just, you know, you've got to live with it because I ain't going nowhere. So we met when Aaron had set up a radio station that was broadcast in East London, and I came on board to help with the volunteers and to kind of look after those guys. And then we sort of became good mates from there, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been mates for quite a while now, and every time we meet, when I'm back in London, because I live in Leeds now, we go for a cup of tea, maybe something a bit stronger, and it's sort of become like a common thread in our friendship, hasn't it? Like, fancy a brew, let's go for a cuppa. So we thought that it would be a really nice idea to start a podcast, which is basically going to be like a reflection of the conversations that we would have when we catch up anyway.
So we toyed with the name a little bit as to what to call the podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fancy a drink, because we do, I mean, I'm surprised my liver has not failed by now, to be fair, because I do drink quite heavily when I go out. But fancy a brew, because we're both from the north, and it's kind of a stereotypical thing to say, you know, because that's kind of how you relax at the end of the day. Not to be confused with a different type of tea that we're going to talk about later.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But for me, fancy a brew was more about where we used to do the recording at the radio station. We had a building that was leased out to us, and we let out the front part of the building that we were in to a Danish brother and sister who created a cafe called All You Read Is Love. It's not there anymore, so now we can talk about it. And it was kind of a cafe come bookshop. But what they would do is every week they would get Lucy incredibly angry because Lucy has a particular way of drinking her tea. And
you make it sound like that way is weird. It's not weird. It's just normal.
Okay.
They just did it
wrong. Lucy has, we'll say, the normal way of doing a cup of tea, and they have their way of doing a cup of tea. And what they would do is, it felt like they were deliberately winding up Lucy every week.
I felt like that's how it got to.
They would add the milk with the tea bag at the same time.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Lucy doesn't get angry very often. I've not really seen her get angry.
I'm a pretty chilled out person.
But that would really push all your buttons, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it was just like hot milk. Who wants to drink that? No one. No one.
Exactly. I agree.
Disgrace. An absolute disgrace. And when I would say, do you mind putting in the milk afterwards? He would just look at me like, oh, but isn't that how you make tea? Like, no, I'm genuinely like, this just doesn't taste nice. No? Like, help her sister out. You know, we didn't sit in their cafe.
They were lovely people. Mm. Really nice cafe. Lovely. Karen and Anders were absolutely lovely. And Hedvig as well. But, the tea situation was quite hilarious. So what this podcast is going to be, as Lucy said, it's just going to be us kind of catching up, introducing you into our world. We'll either bore you to death or you'll find it quite interesting. Our kind of reflections on living in London, living in Leeds. So I'm in London, but I'm originally Ironically, I moved from Leeds to London, and Lucy moved from London to Leeds.
Yes. Yeah, so we kind of passed on the M1 and high-fived.
Indeed we did. We passed on the Megabus.
We did.
Speaking of Megabuses, Lucy, of the Megabus.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen the latest thing that has arrived in London town?
Oh, is this the tour thing?
Yes, there's a mega bus sightseeing tour.
That's
I don't
incredible.
Know how they do it.
No, yeah. I don't. Because what do you do? Do you go like via like Milton Keynes on your way to like Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
Is that...
Absolutely, yeah. And that's just going across Westminster Bridge.
Yeah. Well, you know, it'd be dead cheap, wouldn't it? So if you're willing to just sit around, then, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. To be fair, if it's only £1, it's actually the cheapest form of getting around London outside of getting on the bikes.
It.
Yeah.
And you would know.
So, next time you come down, we may have to do like a live recording of us on the Megabus. Oh my God, that would be amazing. We should actually do that. Oh my God. Fancy a brew on tour.
I love it. I love it. Let's do that.
I haven't seen you properly for a good month. It's been a wee while since I last saw you, since we last got drunk, and had a brew. What have you been up to in the last month?
It's been going on a bit longer than that. But my husband Jack and I have bought a house. We've had an offer accepted on a house at the end of January, beginning of February. We paid the deposit this week, which was genuinely terrifying. When you do it, you just get given bank account details, and then you know go on to your online banking and make the transfer. You know, like I was going to send you a fiver for buying me a drink or something, like. But you know, that's like tens of thousands of pounds.
You're just weeping to yourself as you do that.
Like... You know, that's years and years of savings. You don't get any like we have now received the funds or. You know, you're going to get an automatic reply to say that they've got all your hard-earned cash in their bank account. So we just did it in, like, blind faith, and I must have got Jack to read out the bank account details about 5 times just to make sure I hadn't, like, mistyped.
I mean, I did that for a fiver,
well,
so...
Well, exactly. I'm like, right, so, is this right? Is this right? And we're, like, matching it up with, like, a computer and the note that I'd made when I wrote it down. And I had to, like, ring them up for the bank account details, and I must have checked them with the guy about 5 times, just wanted to make sure that I'd got it right. But, you know, what if you don't? Yeah. That's terrifying, isn't it?
I know, and it's hard to get that money back, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So you're now landed gentry?
Well, soon. I'm already gentry.
Nice. But, you're proper posh, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, so posh. Do you find, though, that... Because, obviously, I've... Well, not obviously. So I grew up in quite a working class background, and you did
same.
Too. And do you find though that now, like when you're doing things that like you know your family didn't do, or they didn't have the opportunity to do, that you're in this like weird limbo situation, and it's quite hard to know how to act, and when what sort of things to say.
Yeah, I think that's Yeah, because when I go back now, because I'm on a decent salary, but in London I'm probably on like pennies.
But
in the north, I'd probably be I'd have a lovely mansion, but in London I have a room in a shared house with 5 other people. But when I go back, because it's so cheap in the north, I find that I can afford to take everybody out for dinner. You know, I'm not. But I don't want to. I don't want two things. I don't want them to expect it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also don't want them to think I'm rubbing it in their faces at the same time. Mm. Like, I don't think you should feel guilty for what you've achieved. I mean, you have worked just as hard as I have to try and get to where you are, just so that you don't have to rely. Well, because you can't rely on family. It's not because they don't want to, or they. It's just I'm not in a position where my parents could buy me a house, or could lend
absolutely
me
not.
Like thousands of pounds for a deposit or whatever, or pay my student fees or anything like that. So everything I've got, which also feels quite good, I've got It's and nobody else is. It's all me.
Yeah.
But I am aware, like you say, that when you do do quite well, you feel a bit guilty for it. Mm. Like
that's like, exactly it. Like, I love my family so much. They're all just brilliant, absolutely amazing. Always a source of like cute, you know, like stupid things that go on, and I always get like incredible, you know, like supportive texts and messages from my mum being like, you know, saying how proud she is and like really nice stuff like that. And then I get like really silly stories about stuff like my nan's done. And, you know, like I don't feel, especially like now I've moved to Leeds, I don't feel like I'm away from it that much.
Fancy a Brew Podcast. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
My one, thank you very much, Lucy, was quite busy actually. I've been working at a place for a year and a half now. Mm. And when I was working at this, ironically, the place I'm working at now, I was headhunted from my previous job. I applied for the job that I'm in now 2 years ago and didn't get it. And then they phoned me up and were like, would you like the job? I was like, yes, I would, thank you, yes. So I've been here for a year and a half now, and it's a great place to work, really nice people, but it's not the job that I thought it was going to be, and it's not using my skill set as much as I feel should be utilised
at
my salary, as it were.
Are you not feeling the challenge?
Yeah, the job I applied for is not the job I'm necessarily doing now, and there's no criticism of it. The job is the job, and I can do it, but I'm not developing, I'm not pushing myself. So I got a phone call, well, I got an email, right, for this new job, and I ignored it for a week and a half because I thought it was one of these like automated like recruiter things. And
I thought you meant that you were doing like a playing hardball.
The place I'm going to work in is a place called Erith, which is close to the Dartford Crossing, not too far from where I live, a bit further round from Woolwich, Abbey Wood, where all the new like developments and stuff are going to be, just after Belvedere. And I thought Erith was in Scotland, so I just ignored it. I was like, oh, they've just automatically, like, blah, blah, blah. And after a week and a half, I went back to this email and I was like, let me just see where it is. I was like, oh, that's like 25 minutes away. So I emailed her back and said, yeah, I'd be quite interested. Sorry, your email, you know. I mean, I did tell her this, so it's not that I'm disclosing anything.
Sure.
Yeah, well, no, I did tell her afterwards. I was like, I honestly thought you were trying to hire me for somewhere in Scotland and you just got the places wrong and all the rest of it. And she was like, I don't know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Long story short, I got the job. So I start there in 3 weeks' time.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I am very nervous because I'm going from 300 staff to 3,000 staff.
Wow.
And it's going to be a massive challenge doing the graduate scheme, doing the management development scheme. So I work in learning and development as my day job, and it's going to be very, very hard, very challenging, but I think I'm going to develop loads while I'm here.
Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com.
I've also been dating as well, which is very unusual. So I met a guy in December, and in a couple of weeks' time, we'll have been together 6 months. Gosh,
wow.
Can you believe that? I know, right? Like a proper adult.
That is grown up.
I know, right? So, to kind of put this into context, Lucy and I did record a podcast already, and because I can't say his name, we were calling him Sergey, because he's from an ex-Soviet country in Central Asia, which doesn't narrow it down, which is great. Yeah, just to annoy him, and it really, really annoyed him. Really, really upset him. It really irritated him. So we've been given a few names we're allowed to call him. I've got a list. So this is the re-record of the podcast, because we were in a bar in the middle of central London, and the sound quality was just awful, wasn't it?
Yes.
We're just calling him B. That's all we're calling him, B.
So you've been seeing B for nearly 6 months.
Yeah, and we've just been to Brighton for the weekend, actually, because it's bank holiday weekend. I said, let's go to Brighton. He was like, I'm going to do a terrible accent. I apologise in advance to him and everybody else. He was like, I want to go to the White Cliffs of Dover. I don't know where he's from. I don't know what the accent is. It's kind of like a Transylvanian Welsh. It's kind of... I don't know where he's going. I don't know what's happening. Oh,
how does he find it when you do his accent?
I'm not going to lie. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it.
No, well, so Jack, my husband, is from Blackpool. This is not the same, but... Sometimes I'll try and do, like, a northwest accent just to, like, piss him off. And it is so bad. It goes a bit mank, and that's all right, I think. I've not quite made it to the other coast yet with my accent skills. So I need to, you know...
I mean, my Central Asian accent from this country is kind of a mix between Jamaican, Welsh and Transylvanian. It kind of...
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he loves that.
Oh, you know what it's like. He's very shy... Very retiring. I said, let's go to Brighton. He was like, oh, what's Brighton? I want to go to the White Cliffs of Dover. I was like, the problem with the White Cliffs of Dover is unless you're in the sea, you can't actually see the White Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah.
So it's a bit pointless standing on top of the White Cliffs of Dover when you can't actually see them.
Yeah, you need to, like, look down.
Yeah. And I don't really fancy seeing that giant effigy of Theresa May... basically telling the European Union where they can kind of go, as it were. So we went to Brighton, and he loved it.
Amazing.
Every single moment of it. Yeah, the day just flew by. We played the slot machines, the two penny machines. I'm starting to realise he might have a bit of a gambling problem because he wasn't enjoying it. He was just like throwing the coins in, like, just I need to win. I was like, okay, this is. It's like, let's just go for a little walk. Let's carry on. And obviously, I've which everybody will know, I've been trying to change my diet. So a very good friend of mine, Carrie Ann's Kitchen on Instagram, the lovely Carrie, has taken me on as her project.
That's exciting.
I will absolutely frustrate the hell out of her. But... I'm kind of on a plant-ish based diet at the moment, so it's kind of more pescatarian than plant-based diet, but no dairy, no processed meats, no real meat at the moment. So basically all the happiness has just been sucked out of my life for temporarily. And then slowly reintroduce these at a later point, I think. But the first 2 weeks I lost 8 pounds.
That's
so
great.
It must be. I think in the last 2 weeks it's been more of a challenge. So we'll see how the last 2 weeks have gone.
That's the thing though, isn't it? Like, we did Slimming World before the wedding. And I think there's two things. One, when there's the two of you.
Yeah.
Or there's you and, like, you know, there's a group of you or whatever. You've got that, like, willpower from everyone that's kind of like, oh yeah, I can do this. Whereas... if you did it on your own, that's got to come from just you. And I think that is, like, that's the hard bit. And then also, if you're just instantly cutting stuff out that, you know, you always had, that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's been less difficult than I thought it was going to be, to be honest. I think it was more difficult... Cheese has been... the most difficult thing for me to cut out.
That's what Jack said from doing Slimmers. You can have a bit of cheese or something, like 40 grams or something, when you, like, half a block of cheese grated over your pasta.
Exactly. So, and I love cheese on my pasta. And the problem with me and pasta is I'm trying to cut out pasta completely, is I cannot control my portion size on pasta. If I make a big portion of pasta, I will eat that
family that whole plate.
Portion.
Yeah.
I inhale pasta. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
But I'm not allowed cheese full stop.
Can you have, like, vegan cheese?
What's the point? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you open a pack of salad, there's nothing more sad than opening a pack of salad. Because even the salad's like when the air, when you open the bag of salad and you just let the air out and it just goes, finally.
What do we call
like,
that? The salad sigh?
Yeah. Yeah, that little mini sigh that...
I have noticed that, actually. You mentioned... You've talked to me about this before. And I... At work, I've been making, like, a jacket potato.
Yeah.
And, like, putting, like, sandwich filler and salad with it. It's like a bag of salad. And when I opened it in the week, I was like, oh, he's right. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Even is. Salah's like, ugh, I'm sick of me. Ugh, like, all nonchalant is the salad when you open it. So, yeah, you don't get that with a block of cheese, do you? A block of cheese is like, doof, when you drop it on the table. Do you know what I mean? Like, cheese is like proper, like, butch and ugh.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast.
Speaking of weird food kind of stuffage.
Oh, yeah.
The previous bank holiday in March, I took B to Yorkshire.
Back up to God's own country.
God's own country. We'll get to that in a sec. Firstly, right, and this is a thing that I've realised with lots of friends, and I've asked lots of people who are not English if they think this is true or not. So I said, I got told off by B, who said, English jokes are not funny. I was like,
right.
Okay.
I think we're pretty funny.
Yeah, so do I. Right? But that's because...
Well, that might be because we're English.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, so he,
all right, Mr. Irish passport.
Well, I was just about to say that, but I wasn't going to talk about my Irish passport, whatever. So
we can talk about that at a later date.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe March next year when we leave the European Union. So he said English jokes are not funny, and I was like, give me an example. And he was like, well, you're always saying I'm only joking. I was like, so then I went to a couple of my other friends who were, like, from Europe and stuff, and I was like, is it true that you all think English jokes are not funny? They're like, yeah, it's not funny at all, it doesn't make any sense. I was like, is that because when you think we say, when we're saying I'm joking, that we're actually telling a joke? And they were like, yes. I was like, oh, my God. Like,
so all these I would never have thought
about
that. Yeah,
I think it's a cultural thing that we haven't realised that people who are not from here, when we say we're joking, they think we're actually joking. And I was like, no, it means we're not being serious. We're having a laugh. We're kind of... like, yeah, still not funny. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we went home.
I think I'm quite funny, so... Yeah. That's just blown
wide open. I feel like I've just unlocked something that we need to really think about. So I took him home to see my... First we went to see my brother and his fiancée and their little girl, my niece, Millie, who live in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, is this her unicorn bedroom?
I've never been so jealous of a five-year-old in my life, right? We walked in, she went, Uncle Aaron, come see my bedroom. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be special. So we went upstairs, and she's like, look. I was like, oh, my God, there's unicorns everywhere, and it's bright pink. I was like, if I could have any bedroom in life, it would be my five-year-old niece's bedroom. I realise that says more about my issues than anything else.
No, I mean,
else.
It sounds amazing.
But while we were there, I left B downstairs with my brother and his fiancée. And they all got on. Do you know what? He got on really well with my sister and her fiance, and my brother and his fiance. We had a lovely time. We went out for a meal, and I'm going to say a meal because there was a lot of confusion of what we call the meals in the north as opposed to pretty much the rest of the country. So, in London, in the 8 years I've lived here, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I've used to call it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Obviously, in the north, Lucy.
Yes, it is breakfast, dinner, tea, and then maybe supper if you're.
Maybe supper depends how you're at. Bit of toast before bed.
Yeah.
With a cup of tea, with a brew. So we went, and I said I introduced my brother to. And being a cheap northerner as I am, I introduced him to Book a Table, which is this website where you can. Book meals, and as you know, I love a Book a Table.
You love it, and I think it's great because I am, you know, been saving for a deposit. Money's been a little bit tight, and I'm always one for a bargain anyway. But the last time we met, you were like, I said, oh, where should we go for dinner? And you were like, let me just check and see what deals are on. And I just loved it because I was like, oh, man after my own heart. He gets it.
Yeah, there's this really, really good restaurant that books up really, really far in advance. It's called Pescatore. It's on Charlotte Street behind Goose Street Station on Tottenham Court Road.
Fancy.
And, the food is amazing. Mm. And it's three courses and unlimited Prosecco for 90 minutes for £35 a head.
That's really good.
Right. The mussels come in a massive tub, right, in a massive pan when you start. And then I had like a lobster and crab burger, and I had an espresso, like ice cream for dessert, but I didn't eat that because I am not kidding, they do not let your glass get half full.
Oh, really?
As soon as you take a sip, yes, you don't even realise how much you're drinking.
Oh, my God. Literally,
you drink, you have a mouthful, and they come over and they fill it up, and then it's like that for 90 minutes, and then they're like, right, you've got 10 minutes left. In other words, quickly download your glasses. But if I can recommend anywhere for anybody to go to, I've probably just ruined it for myself because now I'm never going to be able to book in there again.
No, absolutely.
I introduced my brother to book a table, and he got really excited. He's like, "What are you telling me?" And that's what he actually sounds like. He's like, "What are you telling me? We can go for like all you can eat and all you can drink, and it's like 30 quid." I was like, "Yes, that's right." He's like, "No, no word of a lie. That is that. That impression is on point."
That's okay? Amazing.
Yes, queen. Yes. So we booked in to go for what I would call dinner.
Yeah.
So I said to Liam, right, let's book to go. We went to the Malmaison. Mm-hmm. They did this. Of course, they did a set menu.
Of course they did.
It was three courses for $19.95 in Leeds.
That's bad.
Yeah, so we went to the Malmaison, and the food of the Malmaison is amazing. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was okay this time, but when I've been to the one in London, the one in Manchester and Edinburgh and Birmingham, they're really, really nice.
Well, I did an event at the Malmaison in Leeds last year, and they just did like little, you know, snacky bits and bobs. But it was really nice.
Sliders. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Anyway, sorry.
So I said, let's go for dinner. And bearing in mind it was about 12 o'clock at this time, I was like, well, we can't go for dinner because it's dinner now. I was like, let's go for tea. And B turned to me and was like, why would we be going out for tea? Why do we need a cup of tea? He's like, I'm hungry. Can we not go out to eat? I was like, no. I was like, yeah, we're going out for dinner. He's like, no, we're not going out for dinner. I was like, no, okay, we're going out for tea. He's like, oh, we're going out for tea. I was like, okay.
Stuck in like, the middle of these differences. So to Liam,
yeah, all these cultural differences. I was like, okay, we'll go out for an evening meal tonight and we'll book it for whatever time. I was like, right, B. So lunch is dinner and dinner is tea. He's like, but why would we go for tea when we're going for dinner and lunch? I was like, no, okay, oh my God, right. It's like, everywhere else in the country, it's breakfast, lunch and dinner. Whereas in the North, Lucy?
It is breakfast, dinner and tea.
Exactly. So it's really confusing.
I had to think for a minute if I got that wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? So it's very confusing for me because I was kind of torn between these two worlds of what we're actually talking about here. Did you find that a problem when you moved to London?
Yeah, so when I moved to London, I used to work for this company in Leicester Square, and it's like a massive media provider, and you know, there's a lot of people who worked there who were like, you know, Londoners from the south. You know, there wasn't many Northerners there, and I was going to meet my cousin who had moved to Essex about 15 years ago from Middlesbrough, which is where I'm originally from. And I was saying to this girl called Seema, oh, I'm off to meet my cousin for tea tonight. And she was like, tea? Oh, make sure you have some food as well. And I was like, no, that's what we're doing. And it took me, honestly, longer than I really want to be honest about, to realise what she meant. I didn't really understand the difference. Because to me, like as a proud Northerner, I was like, well, yeah, that's what we're doing. Why is she confused about it? But like you say, you know, breakfast, dinner, and tea isn't what they're saying in that London.
But don't you call it something different as well?
What do you mean? What do I say?
Breakfast, lunch.
I sometimes say breakfast, lunch, and tea.
I mean, why would you confuse it even more?
I don't know. I'm just making it harder on myself. I think, in my new job, when it's been a particularly trying day, we might say, should we go for a fun lunch? And maybe that's just why it's... Because fun lunch is a bit easier to say than fun dinner. So,
yeah,
I think...
I mean, to me, when I was single, a fun lunch is something completely different, but
hey. That's
by the by.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Lucy and Aaron.
Well, speaking of fun lunches, your kind of fun lunches, I watched this really good film the other day that you recommended to me. I'm quite proud of that segue, by the way. So I was watching God's Own Country on Netflix.
Amazing.
Which was, you know, it's a great film, and I wanted to watch it for a while. And my friend Helen was a production coordinator on the film, and she was like, whenever I talked to her about it, she was just so, like, positive and so excited about, like, what they'd made. And obviously it's filmed up in your neck of the woods.
In Keighley.
Up in Keighley. And I'd never seen it, and I'd planned to go and watch it at High Park Picture House in Leeds, but I hadn't quite kind of made it across. And, well, it was on. And so sat down in a travel lodge where I was staying that night because we were away for work. And
it's classy.
Classy bird that I am. And popped it on. And I absolutely loved it. It was so good. It was a lot more graphic than I was expecting. But I have to say that. But the storyline was really good. I loved, like, Johnny's kind of, like, coming of age, like, travelling along that path of, like, maturity, figuring out, like, the sort of person that he wants to be. And I've not seen that many sort of, I don't know, LGBT-type films.
It changes every week. Just, I think the acceptable term now is queer, which I don't quite like, because queer means weird, but that's kind of like the worldwide term for it, as it were.
Well, I've not really seen many of that. I think my sort of film knowledge of that kind of genre, if you can really call it a genre, because it's just a film, isn't it? Is
The Birdcage or Priscilla?
Yeah, exactly. I don't. You know, I've seen like Moonlight and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, excellent film.
Which is a great film. But I think, like, in my experience, they don't always end so happily. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was great.
So, yeah, I think with God's Own Country, it's really similar to Moonlight in the fact that it doesn't have a really depressing ending, that it's not, you know, somebody doesn't die, they're not allowed to get together at the end. I think, you know, what was refreshing about Moonlight is it was a love story about two gay black men in America, and, you know, which is still a taboo within the black community, African-American community in America, sorry if I've offended by saying black. And here, obviously, you know, he's a Romanian farmhand and he's a Yorkshire guy and it's on a farm. And obviously there's going to be that kind of tension between them. And I think why it got a lot of attention is it came out just after the Brexit vote in 2016. So I think it was really pertinent and really relevant at that particular moment in time, because obviously he's a migrant worker from Romania and he's in Yorkshire and they actually need this migrant worker to come over and help and do all the stuff during lambing season. So we were watching it in the hotel and B and I were laid in bed watching it on my teeny little phone screen, and then when the sad bit comes on where he does something stupid in a pub that he shouldn't do, I was like, I'm just going to walk away now because I don't like this awkward bit.
Oh, that's the worst bit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, why does he do that?
I don't know. Johnny. Stop it. Stop getting so drunk, Johnny, okay? Take a leaf out of mine in Lucy's book.
Well, I mean, I think it's clearly an escape, isn't it? Like, at the beginning of the film, you see him, he's, like, hungover, he's throwing up, he's just, like, he's not in a good place, is he? He's blocking it out. You know, all this stuff that he's got to deal with. His dad's not been very well, his dad's had strokes, and can't really walk very, very well, and the sort of like evolution of that character throughout the film. You know, like he starts off, to be perfectly honest, as not a very likable character.
He's a bit of a knob.
He's a bit of a knob, isn't he? Like, he has that. He's at the pub, isn't he? Sort of about a third of the way through, and he sees this girl that maybe he knows from school or something, and she's back with her like uni mates, and she's like, oh, we should go for a night out in Bradford, you know, like
Bradford,
the hotspot that is Bradford,
the mecca, the cultural mecca that is Bradford. I mean, no disrespect, Bradford is a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, but it's not. I don't think when I think night out, I don't necessarily think Bradford. I've been on one night out in Bradford,
you'd think Leeds.
And it won't work.
No, it's a shame because it's a lovely city. But,
it's a really nice city. It's very beautiful. Got lots of lovely buildings.
Yeah. There's a really interesting article in The Guardian this week asking if Bradford's a new Shoreditch. I'm like, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've totally digressed here, but Halifax, they said that about Halifax as well, calling that the Shoreditch of Yorkshire or the North or something. I've seen that before. And yeah. I think Halifax is quite a nice place, actually. Quite a nice, like, town. Whether it's the Shoreditch of the North, I don't necessarily think so.
No, I think Halifax has been the place to go. If you're not from... See, my hometown is a 45-minute drive to Leeds or a 45-minute drive to Manchester, and the trains and stuff don't run. But everybody would always go to Halifax, or even Bingley at that point, for nights out. Not necessarily Bradford. She's a shame.
No, it's a shame. So anyway, so they, he's like, oh yeah, so I don't give my cows the tea, and we just go out largely in Bradford. And she's like, all right, but I mean, I totally see his point. Like, he's got all his responsibilities, and he can't just say, oh, Dad, can you sort this out for me while I go out with my friends? He doesn't have that luxury of having anyone to rely on. So his, like, escape is just getting smashed every night. But there's no escape. And then Georgie comes along, even though he doesn't really want him to, and his whole world changes.
Yeah, and it's lovely. Yeah. It's lovely. I mean, his poor dad has another... He has a second stroke. I'm not giving anything away by saying that. It was really funny because we were... My granddad had a slip and had kind of grazed part of his hip. As it were. So he's an old man, you know, I think they gave him a hip replacement in the end, but he had to be in hospital for a while. And in the film, his father has a second stroke and he goes into hospital with him. And as we were sat watching the film, B just turned to me and went, we were in that hospital today, visiting your granddad. I was like, yes, we were. He was like, oh, it's in the film. I was like, yeah, it really was filmed in my hometown. Like, it was filmed to Airedale.
Is it Airedale?
Yeah, it was Airedale. Yeah, where I used to run the hospital radio for 10 years. Which was back in the day.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. He had some...
That's amazing.
Great mentor there, Elaine. She was a fantastic person. With B, he's kind of been trying his very hardest to turn me into kind of a more fuller human, as it were, and kind of change me, my style and all the rest of it down. So he's got me on this plant-based diet, he's got me not biting my nails, he's got me buying all these new clothes, he's got me, you know, kind of... It's a bit like Queer Eye.
Fancy a Brew Podcast. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Ah, Queer Eye. Do you feel like... Which one is he, though?
Did you like what I did there?
I did like what you did there. Which one is he?
He's all of them.
Is he all of them?
He's all of them. He's all of them together. Yeah.
So
he's got all the sass of five gay men in one person.
I absolutely loved this series. I love that they've brought it back.
Yeah.
I think it's been just what has been needed as that, you know, to be perfectly honest, like, you know, the world is a bit of a crap place at the moment. There's not a lot of positivity out there.
Yeah.
And these five blokes just being themselves.
The Fab Five.
It's been great. I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I've cried at like every episode.
I have, except the last one.
I have a particular favourite. Yeah, I can see what you mean. I think I did cry at that one, but probably not as much as the others. I definitely cried at the first one with Tom.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, you can't fix ugly.
You can, Tom. And you're not. So it was... that one was a particularly emotional hours watching.
But that
one with the firemen. Yeah. I mean, the guy, the main guy that they were helping, seemed like such a lovely man. But what I didn't enjoy the most about it was that, is it Karamo was getting really, like, into that kind of, like, sexy one. And it was a bit much.
Yeah,
like,
I found
alone.
That a bit awkward, if I'm honest. I found that a bit, But his whole thing that he does, I mean, I'm not judging them, they're great at everything they do, but it feels like his, like, superpower isn't really that relevant. I mean, what does he do? What is his thing?
He's, like, self-esteem.
How to act like a human.
Yeah. Confidence.
Really? So you've got Jonathan Yathquin, who does like 100%. At first I was like, you are going to irritate the hell out of me, but he's just lovely, isn't he?
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's just really nice. And his podcast is amazing. He does, he's
so good.
It's really good. He does his podcast on Brexit, right? The latest episode with this Guardian columnist.
Yeah, I listened to that the other day on your recommendation.
It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's find out what it's called. I can't remember what the it is called Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness.
Nice. He's great. He's great. Fab. And then you've got the guy who does the... I mean, I know you know all the names because you love a gay. The guy who does all the cooking.
Oh, Anthony.
And then there's the guy from Donny who does all fashion.
Yeah, Tan. Tan and his big quiff. He's my favourite.
The guy who does interior design.
Oh, Bobby.
What's his name?
It's called Bobby Burke.
Bobby Burke. Bobby. And then you've got the other one.
Oh, Karamo.
Karamo. So it feels like... Now, there used to be a cartoon in the 90s called Captain Planet, right, when I was a kid. And there were five rings.
I know the
irony of saying gay men in five rings. So there were
five rings.
Five rings of superpower. And when all these rings combined, they brought out Captain Planet. Okay, there's a mental image nobody wants. So there was five rings, and there was wind. Yeah, everybody needs wind. Water, definitely need water. Fire, yeah. Earth, all the four things that you need, and then there was a really sad little pathetic one at the end, which was like heart. And heart didn't do it. He called the dolphins.
Is that what it did?
Right. It was the most pointless of all of the superpowers, and I feel like that's his.
He's just like
superpower.
Out there in his flowery bomber.
I mean,
ready to show you how to be more confident.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and with his perfectly trimmed beard.
Yeah, he's like symmetrical, isn't he?
Yeah.
How does he do
it? It's tattooed on. I don't know.
It might be.
You know what gay men are like? It's that attention to detail, which is what I pride myself on. I'm the worst gay man in the world, seriously. Maybe I need a bit of queer eye. B is my queer eye, isn't it?
He is like, queer eye, yeah.
It's like, eating healthy. It's like, I don't need the self-esteem one. I don't really suffer from low self-esteem.
No, you're pretty good with that. You've got that one nailed on.
Yeah, I think I've got that one sorted. But yeah, definitely need the fashion, definitely need the food. Yeah, got the nails sorted, got the beard sorted. It's just, stop being a chunky monkey, as it were.
I think you've got good fashion sense.
And we can all thank B for that, yes.
We can, yeah. But, you know, I never thought that you had bad fashion sense, but pre-B.
Well, now that ASOS do a larger lady range for men... I find I can buy more fashionable stuff that's not too expensive, because although I'm not badly paid, I'm still Northern, and I'm not going to spend more than I need to on a pair of jeans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we went to Brighton at the weekend, and it was so hot when we arrived that I bought some new jeans, some thin ones with like holes in the knees and stuff, a linen shirt, a short sleeve linen shirt, because I went with I had a vest on and a long sleeve, like thick cotton shirt. And I got there, I was like, oh, this was a mistake. So I put this on, and he doesn't give compliments, right? He's like, I only give compliments when the compliments are needed. I was like,
I don't know where he's from.
Right. Well, he's pretending to Pepe Le Pew. So he was like, as I put on the shirt and jeans and stuff, he's like, ooh, sexy bitch. I was like, yeah, yes, queen, yes.
Oh, I love it.
Which is very nice of him. He's a proper little sweetheart.
I was thinking that.
Yes. So I think you and I have probably been ranting for quite a while. Now, being a London, how can I put it, wanker? Yeah. Yeah, I may have joined a special place that's just the special people. I've joined a private members club. I know, right?
I mean, I could pretend like I haven't been in there with you, but
yeah,
it's pretty special,
isn't it?
It was really cool.
And I don't know how I can afford it, and I don't know how it's working out, but I'm just going with it. I'm just like, yeah,
just go with the flow.
Yeah,
you enjoy it, mate.
It's beautiful, beautiful. It's a really,
yeah,
really,
really,
nice
really lovely building. Excellent. Maybe this is a weird thing to point out, but he's got excellent tiled floors.
Yes. And the toilets are insane. You nearly burn your ass on the toilets.
The toilets are like quite old school, aren't they? And there's like a like a sort of shelf behind the toilet.
Yeah, because it's like a level. Chain flush. It's an old system.
It's got a chain flush. Yeah, yeah. So there's like a sort of shelf thing that is level with the toilet seat, but it's like behind it.
Yeah.
And they have these like really fancy like Jo Malone or Diptyque, you know, like some kind of really high end brand that, like, if you were going to buy that candle for yourself, you'd be like, absolutely nowhere, this is insane. And I like went in there and was like, oh, it smells so nice in here. And then I was like, oh my god, am I going to sit on that?
I did that the first time as well. I was like, is that safe behind the wooden seat of
exactly.
the toilet in this
yeah,
confined space
gets,
with all this
like,
paper?
Yeah. What if it gets knocked and you're just like, you don't realise, or it happens like after you've closed the door and you've gone? Yeah, terrifying.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew podcast.
Lucy Critchley.
Oh, yeah.
At Lucy Critchley, no?
No, at Lucy Duffield. Critchley is my married name. And I'm deciding to keep my previous surname for, you know, professional.
For professional
means.
Stuff. Nice.
But, you know, I'll answer to either. It's fine.
And I'm at Aaron Trains.
At Aaron Trains. Oh, because you love trains?
Because I love trains, absolutely, yes. No, because at Aaron Trains is my maiden name as well. So.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. So to give you all of our details, and obviously we've got our Instagram and we have emails and all sorts going on now,
yes,
haven't we?
Yes, we do. We are on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Fancy a Brew Pod, or you can email us fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. So get in touch, let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, if there's anything interesting that you think we could talk about next time. We're all ears.
Yeah, please. And be as brutal as you like, because this is the internet and we do enjoy trolls. We may even use some of the trolls' comments in the next pod. We could have Troll Watch. What have you learnt this month?
What have I learnt this month? What have I learnt this month? Well, I've learnt a couple of things. Mainly that the house buying process in this country is mega archaic and a total ball ache. I saw paper.
Yeah.
Except that payment, which, you know, I had to ring up and say, have you got my money? And no kind of thought of like, oh, we should let them know that we've received their funds.
Yeah, because that's like their life savings.
Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy. And what else have I learned? I've learned that people are mostly good. It's a bit cryptic, that one. But for sort of getting older and figuring out like the workplace, you know, being upfront and honest about how you feel or something that's happened and just getting it solved straight away instead of dwelling on it. I think that's something I've learned.
What did I learn this month? I learned that Central Asian countries also celebrate Nowruz, which I always thought was the Iranian New Year, and it's not. And it's on my birthday. Yes.
Oh,
and his birthday
that's
as well.
Nice.
We share the same birthday, so.
Oh. Well, at least that's only one day to remember.
Yeah, and also stealing part of my thunder on that day, so, you know.
Who would have thunk it? Because, you know, when you realise, you know, like, there's a lot of people who have September birthdays because their parents, like, boffed during Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
Like, because that's 9 months after.
I'm a summer baby, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So they were getting it on when it was warm. Bow, wow, 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 wicka, wicka. I'm sure my parents will love that, but I don't. I really couldn't care less. Really could not care less about that. Okay, so that's, I think that's a wrap, is it?
Yeah, I think so. We'll be back in a month with more.
With more. I mean, what else can we say? How else can we entice you in?
Come and join us. Hopefully, I will have a house that I live in that, you know, isn't one that I rent.
At Fancy a Brew Pod on Instagram and Twitter. fancyabrewpod@gmail.com.
At Lucy Duffield and at Aaron Trains. Yes, thanks for listening. Bye.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.